There's few songs that speak to me as that one does. Knowing Jesus, there truly is no greater joy. Do you guys love Jesus this morning?
Amen.
Amen. You guys can have a seat. Our prayer, our hope is that each person would truly know Jesus and the sweetness of what it means to know Jesus. You know, one thing that I love about Jesus is that his presence. We can actually know him and feel him. And that's an amazing gift to actually know him and feel him. And even as we're singing that song, I want to let you guys know that I love Jesus and I love you. And, you know, being here now for several years, I've gotten to recognize faces and know people, and I love you. And I feel love for you. And I think sometimes we just need to know that as the body of Christ that we love each other. And I love you. You don't have to say love you back. It's okay. But I do. And it's because of the love that Jesus has for me that it is so prevalent. And so we're going to... Wow, I sound really loud.
Yeah.
Power. We're going... Check, one, two. Okay, let's try it again. So we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit today, and this is going to be my last message on who the Holy Spirit is, and because I know there's so much more that we could talk about, and maybe later on this year I'll get more into all the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but for today I just want to kind of wrap up one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit. And so first off, I just want to welcome you that are in person, and also for those that are joining us online. We're glad that you're joining us. And we're going to talk about a very important faction of who the Holy Spirit is. I'm crackling, aren't I? Should I use a handheld? I get more preachy this way, though. Check, one, two. Check, one, two. You better watch out now. My southern roots will come out with this microphone. So we're going to talk about a really main factor of the Holy Spirit. And it's the factor of how he speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. So you and I, as humans, we all have basic needs. And for all of history, there's been just a couple basic needs that have driven us, and it's food, shelter, water. We've done everything to provide food, shelter, water. But in the last 150 years, as a society, as a whole, we've actually become very blessed, and even globally, there's a lot of change in those needs. And so food, shelter, water isn't really what drives us anymore. I mean, we can go to Burger King right after this for a buck and get a hamburger. It's not too hard to find food, shelter, or water right now. So what's happened is that there's this new need that all of us have, and it's become stronger and stronger, and even though this need has always existed, just recently, it has become so large in your life. No matter if you're watching online or if you're in person, you have this need that I want to share with you. No matter if you're low with riches or you have a lot of riches, you have this need. If you're a high school football player from Prairie City, you have this need. If you're a civil engineer from New Zealand, you have this need. Every single person is searching for this need. No matter if you are a strong man who has his life together, or if you're a woman that's single and she's going to conquer the world, you still have this need. You search for it. And just like any need, you have to find the answer. If you're hungry, you have to find food. If you're thirsty, you have to find water. And so people are trying everything to fulfill this need right now in our society. People are trying spiritual practices, yoga, extended vacations. Some people move from jobs, try different careers. Some people join crowds, try to find new friends. The need that you have is the need for inner peace. We can't control the outer peace, but right now, inside of your life, you're trying to find peace. Most of us have inner storms that are happening in our mind or in our soul of just waves crashing, torment. No matter if you're a teenager today or if you're 90 today, there is this wrestling inside of you of trying to find peace, rest for the soul. When was the last time that you felt utter peace, rest? Where life wasn't chaotic, where life wasn't tormented, where life wasn't up and down, left and right, rest. We try to find that peace. We pray for that peace. We need that peace in our life. Some of you have heard that you have the news of cancer inside of this church, and you're trying to find peace. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you have trouble with your children. Some of you have trouble in your marriage. Some of you have trouble in your own soul, and you want to find rest, peace. So you'll try all these different options. You'll go to different doctors. You go to different things. You go to different people trying to find that rest for your soul. That inner peace drives us. It's powerful when there's a voice that comes and speaks. Certain times there's voices that can give us peace, isn't there? There's certain voices that can give us peace, rest. I mean, how many of us at 1 o'clock in the morning, if we're sleeping, suddenly hear the door go, and we would ask the question, who's there? And based off of the voice, we're going to have peace or not. If we recognize that voice, we'll have peace. If not, we'll grab the gun, okay? I mean, that voice gives us peace or not. One of my favorite people's like voices is the Animal Planet guy. Do you guys know the Animal Planet guy? A baby giraffe is just growing. I don't know how he does it, but it's just like so peaceful. Or you can YouTube this one later, the narrator of Winnie the Pooh. YouTube it. I'm telling you, you'll want to go to bed with him. He's just so, there's something about his voice that's comforting. During World War II, the British government or the British broadcasting systems, during the height of Hitler's reign happening, they actually put C.S. Lewis on the radio at night to talk about Christianity to comfort the people. They'd sit by the radio and listen to C.S. Lewis talking for comfort. There's voices that bring us that peace. And I want to share with you today how the Holy Spirit speaks. And he gives us peace through how he speaks. One of our values as a church is God speaks and we listen to his voice. So grab a Bible, please. We're going to look at two passages of scripture today. John 14:26 and then John 16:13 are going to be our two passages we're going to spring from. But we're going to share today how God speaks, his Holy Spirit speaks to you and speaks to us. And as you turn there, I want to just take a moment and pray over our time together. So, Father, I just thank you so much for your peace. I thank you so much for your word. I just thank you so much how you guide and you lead us, you direct us. And, Lord, just use this time to speak to the people. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. John 14:26, this is what it says. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he tells them, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. He's going to come, and he will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything that I have said. And then he encompasses this idea of peace to the disciples. Don't let your hearts be troubled, but have peace. John 16:13. Says this. Turn over there if you can. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit again. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So let me ask a question. Based off this passage, does the Holy Spirit speak? Let's read that again. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So does the Holy Spirit speak? Yes. Okay. Just want to make sure we're on the same page. Just looking at Scripture today, the Holy Spirit speaks, and he doesn't speak on his own authority. He speaks on the authority of Jesus. Verse 14, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So the Holy Spirit, when he speaks, what he does is he reveals to us what Jesus is trying to say to us. He's the messenger to us. I think of the playgrounds. You remember the microphones, those talking things at playgrounds? You have like one speaker on one side, one on the other side. So Jesus is on one side. We are on the other side. The Holy Spirit is a microphone between us. He doesn't speak on his own, but he speaks what Jesus wants him to speak, and he speaks to us. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and he guides us. Now, how does that function with the Bible? Because God's word is his word. So does the Holy Spirit speak outside of the Bible? How does that actually work? And so I heard this illustration that paints this really beautifully, and I want to share it with you. So imagine there's a young college graduate, a young lady that just graduated college from Harvard. She's brilliant, really smart. She knows her stuff. And she's called to go to the Amazon jungle. And as she goes to the Amazon jungle, she's met there saying, hey, there's a certain destination that we want you to go to. There's a certain place we want you to go to. In order to get to that place, you can have either two things. You can have a map that's perfect or a guide. Which one do you want? A map or a guide? And she's like, well, I'm pretty smart. I know what I'm doing, so I'll take the map. The map's perfect. Everything is perfect in that map. So she takes the map and begins to follow the map. The first day going good, second day going good, third day going okay. Then suddenly on the fourth day, it begins to rain and storm and pour. And now she's in the middle of the Amazon jungle, and she's completely confused. She's trying to look at the map, and she doesn't know what to do. And then suddenly she hears the voice of the guide. And the guide says, hey, come this way. Follow me. So he helps her get out of the mess, out of the confusion. He guides her. Now she's out, and he says, do you want me to stay with you? She's like, no, I got my map. I got the perfect map. So she begins to go again. 3 days later, she ends up in another messy situation. She's stuck in a bog. She's confused again. And then suddenly the guide comes and says, do you need help? And now, ashamed, she says, yes, please help me. So he helps her again. And as they're walking, he's like, do you want me to help you? And she's like, fine, you can help me. You can guide me. She says, do you need the map? He said, no, I don't need the map. I wrote the map. The Holy Spirit wrote our map. He guides us with the map. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order to understand the map. He has to speak to you. That's why when you read God's word, sometimes it's like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Oh, I've never seen it. That's the Holy Spirit trying to guide you, trying to direct you. But what's that destination? This is really important. What's that destination the Holy Spirit is leading us to? Where is he trying to get you? So God speaks through his word, but he also, when this passage was written in John, there were several hundred years before the Bible actually came into fruition. So there was hundreds of years without the word. So when he's writing this, he's saying, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you still off of his word. But he's also going to speak. He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to your heart as a believer. He's going to guide you. And when we seek to listen to the Holy Spirit, Lord, speak to me. Where does he guide us? Where is he directing us? Where is he trying to get us? The Holy Spirit leads us. It's going to sound cliche, but there's a really important purpose behind it. The Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. He leads us to Jesus. Why is that important? I mean, really quick, it's hard to drink water and hold a microphone. So if you see me struggling up here, I'm trying not to slobber up here. But the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus. Why is that so important? Let's go Christmas for a second. I know we're almost into summer, but let's go to Christmas. I want to show you what the Holy Spirit was saying through angels and through the prophets about Jesus. Isaiah 9:6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of..." When the angels came, they stood before the shepherds. Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth to those in whom his favor rests." So with Jesus comes peace. With Jesus comes peace. So the Holy Spirit guides us to peace. The Holy Spirit guides us and leads us to peace. Now, because you are so just so smart, New Life Church, how does the Holy Spirit do that? Let's just be practical for a second. How does he actually lead you and I to peace? How does he direct us? Now, here's something very important to understand. If you actually study when God speaks in Scripture, when he's actually speaking to somebody and impressing on their heart, I want to show you a passage that's probably one of the most prominent passages about when God speaks to someone. So there was this young boy, very young, probably before he was even a teenager. So people that are young today, do not doubt that God speaks to you. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to graduate college. God can speak to you at 8 years old. Right, church? God, there is no age limit. So here's this young boy. His name is Samuel. And he's sleeping. And then suddenly he hears a voice says, "Samuel." He gets up. He thinks it was his master Eli, who's the prophet of Israel. He goes to Eli and says, "Did you call?" Eli says, "No, child, go back to bed. I'm trying to sleep." Samuel goes back to bed.
"Samuel."
Gets up again. Goes to Eli. "Did you call?" Eli's like, "Come on, man. I'm trying to get some nut out here. Go back to bed." He goes back to bed.
"Samuel."
There's a repetition taking place. Eventually, Eli says, "Wait a minute. Something's going on here. God's trying to speak to this boy." And so he tells the boy, he tells Samuel, "Say this next time. Say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Speak, Lord. I love that phrase. We should say it more often in our life. "Lord, speak, for your servant is listening." Now, I've loved that passage for years. Like, "Oh, Lord, you're calling my name. You're speaking to me. Thank you, Lord." But most people don't read what actually God tells Samuel. And what God tells Samuel is not a cuddly little story. And I want to show you what he actually tells Samuel. So this is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it about to tingle.'" So Samuel's like, "Oh, this is going to be good. 'At that time, I will carry out against Eli,'" Eli again is the prophet of the land, "'everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end, for I told him that I would judge him, his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them.'" This is just a young boy. He goes on, verse 14, "Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Verse 15, "Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision." Yeah, no kidding. Now, isn't that fascinating? See, so often when we think about hearing God's voice, we're thinking of like this warm, cuddly feeling. But he gives him something hard. So he actually tells Eli, "This is what the Lord spoke." And Eli didn't smack the boy up. He actually said, "Okay." Now, what if Samuel kept on saying, no, I'm going to go to bed. No, I'm going to go to bed. But if you look at this, and then you compare it to the rest of Scripture, here's what's fascinating. I have a point. You guys are like, Tim, where are you going with this? I'm bringing you on a journey because there's a cool ending to this. If you look at the rest of Scripture, oftentimes when God speaks, the people respond confused or in doubt or fearful. See, so many times when we're wanting God to speak to us, we're looking for God to affirm what we're already feeling. God, please speak to me about this decision. And we sit there for 35 seconds and like, oh, God spoke. He likes what I was already thinking. Thank you, Lord, for agreeing with me. I like that. I mean, come on, let's just be honest. How many times have you met somebody, of course it's not you, but they're like, you know, I've just been praying. It's what the Lord told me to do. And it's exactly what you were thinking the whole time. Oh, I'm pushing on some toes. But oftentimes when we hear God, it's affirming what we were already thinking. You guys are quiet today. And this is so important because what we end up doing is we use God as a scapegoat. We use God to get out of a sticky situation. Oh, the Lord told me I don't have to deal with this. Oh, the Lord told me not to have conflict with anybody, so I'm not going to confront this issue. Oh, the Lord told me that my wife is crazy, so I don't have to talk to her. Okay. I'm a pastor. I've heard this stuff, so I'm not making this up. People think this way. It's like we use God's voice to get out of things. But if you actually look at Scripture, this is what's fascinating. Oftentimes, it goes against people's feelings. When God speaks, it actually goes against what I feel oftentimes. I'm going to do this quickly. When God spoke to Moses about leading the Israelites, Moses is like, yes, Lord, I'm there. No. He argued with God forever. When God spoke to Sarah about having a child, when she's a little bit upper in age, she's like, yes, Lord, I'm here for you. No, she laughed. And she's like, that ain't going to happen. When God spoke to Gideon about leading the Israelites against the Midianites, nope, he doubted. He questioned. He's like, no, that must not be right. And I love this one. When God told Jeremiah, hey, you need to go to this people to tell them the truth. And this is what Jeremiah says. This is what God tells Jeremiah. When you tell them all this, they will not listen to you. When you call to them, they will not answer. That's a rah-rah speech right there. Jonah, you remember good Jonah? Jonah immediately went to Nineveh, didn't he? Do you guys see a pattern in Scripture? When the Holy Spirit speaks, it often goes against what we naturally think or feel. Just take some time. Go through Scripture. It's rarely you find somebody that's already feeling something. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord, for confirming that. Now, there's a point to this. And there's a really big point to this. Again, I was talking about peace at the very beginning. In the garden, with Adam and Eve, God spoke. Don't touch that tree. What happened immediately? Satan came, and what did he say? Did God really say that? I think so oftentimes Satan is doing that to us. When the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to us, there's another voice that says, is that really God? God doesn't want you to forgive that person, no. God doesn't want you to go love your spouse right now because they're crazy. God doesn't want you to step out and have courageous faith and share the gospel. No, God didn't really say that. And so we end up listening to the voice that already agrees with us. We listen to the voice that affirms what I'm feeling. But let's look at John 16:13 again. But when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He's the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. His voice, His leading, His guiding leads you to truth. It leads you to truth. And I'm talking about, yes, God's word speaks, but I'm also talking about that little nudge in your spirit, that little voice that hits you sometimes out of nowhere. If it's leading you to truth, I believe God's trying to speak to you. We live in Iowa, and sometimes I don't know why because of the weather, but we live in Iowa, and we're about to go into tornado season again. In tornado season, what are you thankful that you have? Come on, say it like you mean it. Basement. Come on, we all love our basement. When the storm starts raging, we all run down into the basement. We're like, thank you, Lord, that we built this basement. Don't know why, but we got one. That basement, when there's a storm outside, is a wonderful place of security, isn't it? I mean, if anybody lives in a trailer here during those storms, man, my heart goes out to you. Because that's terrifying without a basement. Basement gives me security. See, there's a storm that's happening on the outside and inside your life. There's a storm that's blowing outside in our culture, in our world, and there's a storm that's blowing inside of your life. And the security that you'll find, the safety, is truth. Truth is peace. Truth is actually peace. It keeps us safe. Because so often when we don't have peace in our own lives, when we have just chaos happening in our own life, how we feel, how we think, what we see, we're trying to change those circumstances. So we get very passionate about, I'm going to push some buttons, voting, which is good. But we're trying to change a circumstance to make me feel peace. We're trying to change a person. If you don't like your parents, if you don't like this friend, you want to change them to make you feel peace. If you don't like the relationship, if you don't like your job and your boss, he's not good. You'll try to change everybody else to try to make you find peace because that's a need. It drives you. But real peace has nothing to do with what happens around you. It has everything to do with what happens within you. It has nothing to do with what's happening around you. It's what's happening within you. Romans 8:6 says this, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trusting in you. Again, when the Bible says he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you, the Holy Spirit comes and confirms truth inside of us. Now, let's give some examples to make this practical. What if I've done some things that are just too big for God to forgive? I've messed some things up. I've done things wrong. That voice that's telling me, it's too far gone. I've messed up. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He comes along and says, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. That's the Spirit of truth. I can't go on. I'm just too tired. I don't got the strength. I'm just worn out. I can't do this anymore. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Truth. What if I make a wrong decision? I'm trying to do my best. What if I make this? I'm trying to do my best. And should we do this? Should we buy this house or not? Lord, help me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Truth. I have to do this all by myself. Nobody's there for me. I'm alone in this process. I have to carry this burden by myself. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. Truth. I'm alone. Nobody loves me. God's a father to the fatherless. He is the good shepherd. Truth. See, the voice of God comes and he gives us truth above our feelings. Peace comes through strength. Where's my helper? Okay, come forward.
Da 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 da.
It's almost graduation season.
Da 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 da.
David, that was sweet of you. It's not even my birthday yet.
Could be.
Could be. This is my friend. David, can you do me a favor? Stand over here really quick. Okay, this is my friend. This is a person that I love. And it's Y-O-U. It's you. This is you in life. And when the storm comes, this is how the inside of your soul feels. Just up and down, left and right, everything's going around. And if I let this balloon go, what happens to it? Pew, it's gone. But if my friend here takes something that's not solid and ties it to something that's solid, ties it to something that has strength, this balloon, even though will go back and forth, but will never move from this spot. This is you. This is truth. This is the Holy Spirit's voice. He will always tie you to truth. Now, how does this deal with peace? Ready? This balloon has peace because of the truth. This balloon has peace because of the strength of the string. This balloon has peace not because of itself, but because of something that's solid. Something that's more solid than itself. Let me tell you something. We get so confident and secure in our own feelings. Our feelings, we think our feelings are this. Our feelings are just another balloon that we tie to. Our feelings deceive us. Our feelings confuse us. But God's voice is a gift to you and I that leads us to truth, that gives us peace. That's why when Jesus gave this command to his disciples, I'm going to give you the gift, and he's going to give you peace, it was because their circumstances weren't going to change. They were going to be put in worse circumstances and persecuted for the gospel. But he says, in the midst of that chaos, you need something stronger than your feelings. You need something stronger. You need truth. Truth comes and brings us peace. Peace comes from strength. You find peace when you build onto something that's strong. The only reason why you guys feel comfortable in this building is not because of each other. You feel comfortable that this building isn't going to fall on top of you. Why? Because the structure is strong. That's what gives you peace. When a boat's in the middle of a storm and it's to a dock, the only thing that gives that boat security is when it's actually tied to a dock. You and I, we think feeling first. That's why I encourage you today to really find peace. You need truth first. You need God's word to remind you, but you need a spirit to affirm in you. God speaks, we listen. And I just want to encourage you this week, when your emotions are going this way and all around you is just blowing like crazy, just stop and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me now. Don't give him 30 seconds, give him 30 minutes. Get your word out and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, guide me. I got these decisions to make. I got these feelings. I got these things happening. I need truth because I feel just thrown around. He gives us that peace. Psalm 23, verse 2. I love this verse. And we're going to close with this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I love that because he first makes this person take a nap. He makes me lie down. Child, go to bed. But then his spirit leads me to peace. Peace is found in his presence. Peace is found in his truth. You need his truth. And his voice, his beautiful voice, the Holy Spirit speaks. What a gift to us that we have a God who speaks to us. And he speaks to us, but he doesn't do it on his own authority. He does it because Jesus is telling him what to speak. And he reminds us of the truth. So today, no matter where you are in this journey of life, I guarantee you need peace. That person you're sitting next to who's so prim and proper and looks really good on Sunday, just let you know they need peace. They're crazy just like you. They need peace. We all need peace, and we live in a world without any peace. We live in a world that's trying to be run by feelings and not truth. And it's chaos. And if we run our lives, it's going to be chaos. The Holy Spirit brings us to truth. And he wants to lead you beside quiet waters. So the Holy Spirit, again, I could talk probably for 2 years on the attributes of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he first is a friend to have fellowship with. Second, he gives you power, strength to do the impossible, taking the I am out and making things possible. And then thirdly, he speaks. He speaks. And he gives you peace. So during this song, it's a beautiful song just on the authority of Christ, and the words just are a beautiful reminder to us. But I just want to encourage you, just say throughout this week, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to me. Guide me. Direct me. When your emotions are doing this, stop and say, Lord, speak. Don't give them 10 seconds to affirm how you already feel. Give them the time. Give them the space to really guide you and direct you. So why don't you guys stand with me as we get ready to close our time together through song. And a life without peace is a miserable life. And he gave us the gift of peace. So during this song, no matter how chaotic the environment is around you or the storm within you, just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through these words and to give you peace.